Good evening, and welcome to Kel's Wonderful Life. Listeners from the previous season may recall that around this time last year I travelled to Japan to attend the International Conference on Robotics and Automation, the world's premier robotics shindig. This year, it's being held in Alaska, and so pretty much everyone in the lab is going. Except for me. As it was, I submitted to other conferences and so didn't put a paper in for this one, making the cost of flights and registration somewhat difficult to argue with my boss. This week, it's just been little old me in a big empty laboratory with nothing but malfunctioning robots for company. This, however, has been a blessing in disguise. My network of spies and informers came through for me and directed my attention to a most excellent opportunity. It turns out that this week was Marine Week in Boston, where the US Marines pull out all stops to impress the young and impressionable and convince them to enlist. And where else in Boston does one turn to recruit the best and the brightest of the land of the free? Why, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, of course. Now, to get the best of the best, the polished brass of America's finest felt that they needed to do something a little extra special to really put on a show. Rather than be content to drive in some shiny military hardware on the back of some lorries to show off, they decided to fly in some honest-to-God Marine helicopters and land them on the Oval. Now that would certainly draw attention at any sundry university, but at a place like MIT, one imagines that sort of thing goes on all the time. Fortuitously, MIT has very active communities at work within its ranks, which are not without some influence. When the aeronautics groups got wind of the fly-in, they pulled a few strings on the twisted mafioso web of Brass Rat alumni and scored what can only be described as a coup. So on Monday morning of this week, I found myself on a train headed for Boston. Boston is a city of some repute, being known for its liberal outlook, liberal education, paranoid government, high-class shopping, high-tech industry, high-cost housing, the Boston Tea Party, the Boston Massacre, and the Boston Red Sox riot. It's also the home of the Kennedys, Aerosmith, Jay Leno, Edgar Allan Poe, and the Church of Christ, Scientist. Boston was also the city in 2007, which was completely shut down because a marketing agency surreptitiously attached battery-powered electronic placards of cartoon characters to bridges and buildings as part of an underground multi-city promotional campaign. Curiously, in New York, where the September 11 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center took place, nobody seemed to give a damn about a few random light-up signs. I imagine stranger things are seen in New York every day. The Bostonians, however, went completely berserk. Police officers of the Massachusetts-based Transportation Authority shut down sections of the mass transit system and highway, and the bomb squad and emergency vehicles were called in. One of the signs was detonated with a water-filled explosive. I was told by Bostonians that during the scare, armed military helicopters lurked over the city. I'm pleased to say that my experience with military helicopters flying low over Boston was instead much more positive. I arrived early at MIT's Brigfield Oval and immediately located the ground coordinators of the event, conspicuous in their full Marine dress uniform. Curiously, they'd brought along with them a portable chin-up bar, which they challenged aspiring Marines to perform 3 repetitions on. I think their targeting was a little off. That kind of macho mumbo-jumbo may impress Billy Joe Ray and Bob Zeke Wilson down at the mall, but the slightly built pasty white nerds on MIT's campus were having none of it. Fortunately for them, the greatest marketing tool ever created soon made its way over the tops of the engineering faculty buildings to the cheers of the 300-strong crowd, and performed a neat lap of the field before roaring over the heads of the assembled audience and landing in a huge cloud of dust. For a whole minute, all you could see or taste was dirt. But when the air stilled and the dust had cleared, at the other end of the field loomed one of the most aerodynamically sophisticated rotorcraft ever constructed, the V-22 Osprey. If you're not familiar with the Osprey, it's a tilt-rotor converter plane, with dual rotors mounted on pods at the end of a stubby wing. It takes off like a helicopter, hovering on its small rotors, but quickly rotates them to face forward like large propellers, allowing the aircraft to fly forward like an aeroplane, much faster than the top speed of any helicopter. The Osprey is notorious for being exceptionally complicated and requiring expertise in both fixed-wing and helicopter operation. During its development, at least 30 people were killed in various flight test mishaps and training accidents. At 20 years and over $20 billion to develop, it's been a long time in coming, but as a spectacle filling the sky overhead, it is simply awe-inspiring. So captivated was the assembled crowd that hardly anyone remarked on the arrival of the comparatively mundane Jet Ranger. However, for those of us fortunate enough to arrive early and put our names on the list, the Jet Ranger was quite welcome, for it offered free rides to the first 100 people. When my turn came, I was sure to tell the pilot that I was a helicopter engineer, Military pilots, I'm told, can't resist a dare. I challenged him to make the helicopter do something I didn't think was possible. Although he declined to do a barrel roll or loop-the-loop, we were treated to a set of high G turns over the Charles River. I was bemused to look straight out the side of the helicopter and see the ground, not too far below it. The helicopter stayed on campus for a whole 2 hours. It seemed as many people stayed to watch the Osprey leave as had gathered to watch it arrive. Timing was perfect, and just as the tilt rotor was ready to depart, the winds picked up and the rain began to fall. Despite the biting mix of rain, wind, and cold, however, I remained to watch the takeoff. The Osprey seemed to idle on the ground for an eternity, waiting for the air to calm, but in truth it wasn't long before it roared skywards and headed back from whence it had come. To our disappointment, it didn't transition to forward cruise until it had left the city, but that lessens the experience not in the least. When the crowd dispersed, the last remaining sodden few of us walked over to where it had slumbered, and remarked how the grass had been blasted away by the downdraft, leaving two still warm patches of bare earth as the only evidence it had ever been. Forgive me if I come across somewhat breathless, dear listener, but as a roboticist specializing in autonomous helicopters, this will probably be the highlight of my year. It's not often you get to get up close and personal with sophisticated military hardware of this caliber, let alone something as unparalleled and futuristic as the Osprey. Sure, I may have missed the chance to go to the conference, but without a doubt, my Monday was epic. This has been Kel's Wonderful Life, where awesome flying things are always welcome. Guaranteed.